Welcome to Just Think, the podcast.
The podcast where we don't want to tell you what to think.
We just want to encourage you to do it.
We are three friends that came from across the political spectrum who were tired of partisan politics and were alarmed at what we saw happening in our country, including the growing political divide.
But we found as we challenged ourselves to recognize our own biases, to put them aside, we were absolutely united in our pursuit for the truth.
And that's why we started this podcast, to share the conversations we were having around that pursuit and to invite you into our conversation.
To encourage you to feel free to ask questions, search for the answers yourself, to say what you think.
That's right, because as we like to say, diversity of thought, ideas, and beliefs are welcome here. Asshats are not.
All are welcome as long as you just think.
Well, hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
It's just the three of us today coming to you with some headlines that we know, if you're not aware, and we think a lot of our listeners are pretty informed, but if you're not, we're going to walk you through a few things we feel like you need to know, and that not only that you need to know, you need to share. You need to share. One of the things that we have felt very convicted about, and it's honestly why this podcast has become like a mission for us, is that we feel this strong conviction. It's not time to be quiet. This is not the time to be silent. The last few years escalated because there was such a lack of courage and conviction. And there was such a lack of a willingness to speak out when people knew that's wrong. But we understand it. We understand it because none of us want to get caught in the crossfire of horrific verbal bullets or online bullets coming our way. Like, none of us want to stick our neck out. Why would Kristen and Amy and I want to risk anything? Because it was a conviction of, you know, something that some people don't know, and it's important that they find out. So you got to do your part. And so when we share all this, we believe that you have the same responsibility, not to have a podcast per se, or even put it necessarily on social media. If that's not your thing, it's important you have these conversations with people in person at the very least. And you don't have to be combative. You can literally say, did you know? And we give a Substack every single episode that has resources that you can share with others as well. We just want to give a shout out to Kristen for putting that together for you week after week. Right now, for our paid subscribers, you're getting all the goods on the childhood vaccine program, everything you need to know, every question you'll need to ask your pediatricians. Like, it's going to be there for you, and it's already starting to come out. So definitely check that out. And we appreciate those of you who are subscribing. But I just want you to know, like, what we're about to talk about, it's not for us to sit here and live in an echo chamber of people who all perhaps see things in similar views. Just Think, the podcast exists not to tell you what to think, but to encourage you to do it. And let's go a step further and say, and let's share it, because the mainstream is not covering it. And we're going to start with a mainstream character. Everyone remember Chris Cuomo?
Not Andrew. We remember Andrew for sure, right?
Yeah. His brother, Andrew.
Yeah, had a great job in New York during the pandemic, right?
I could just picture him eating the cheeseburger. Isn't that what it was?
Get a free wasn't it him? The mayor, wasn't it? That was the mayor.
Never mind.
Mm-hmm. But the governor.
That shifted everybody to the nursing homes.
The
governor shifted everyone to the nursing homes. And then Chris got busted for, like, not having a mask on. Remember when he was telling everyone to mask up? And then he staged his, like, workout video. Do you guys remember this too? Like, there was, look, he was not an upstanding character in those moments, I would say. But it created, for some of us, we were like rolling our eyes at him and saying, you're an idiot. Because, this is a good time to play some of the things that he was saying at the time of the pandemic. So we're talking 2020 and 2021, when the vaccines roll out. Mm-hmm. Chris started to just carry the water of the administration that wanted to have mandates, of the, you know, of the three-letter agencies that were telling everybody to get vaccinated or you'd have the winter of severe illness and death. He was carrying their water. Let's be really clear. To me, journalists should have a constant curiosity, a journalistic curiosity about the what you're not being told. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me what a lack of journalistic curiosity we saw from him. Right. And real journalists are always asking questions, always playing devil's advocate, and they're not buying everything they hear. We've lost that. Obviously, the mainstream media does not have that. They're now owned by the people who fund. And if you want to know who funds them, start with Big Pharma. Okay. All right. So let's just go through the list. Are you all good with that? We'll just go through and play. Let's play a little bit of everything. Listen to Chris right here.
Tony, I mean, what are you thinking? The other aspect to why you take the vaccine is it also reduces, not completely, nothing is perfect, and certainly this vaccine is not, but it also reduces your ability to communicate the virus and make other people infected. That part matters too. Kids now account for almost 29% of all cases in this country. We know why, because they're not vaccinated, many of them, and they're going back to school. Choose not to get your kids vaccinated. You don't get to go to public schools or pretty much any school, right? You don't have to take the vaccine. That's not what's being done here. But you don't get to not do what keeps everybody else safe and then get to live the way that you want to because you are forcing the rest of us not to live the way that we want. Did you know that on social media, people are referring to the vaccine as the Fauci ouch. Did you know that? Did you have anything to do with that?
Was
that your idea?
I did not.
I love you as an actor, but I couldn't respect more what you're doing on the ground to help people
get
the vaccine and testing before that. And I'm sure you'll be a part of whatever comes next.
So again, you're just seeing...
You got to play the next one too.
I just want to, let's not speed past the whole, you don't have to take the vaccine, but you don't get to go to school.
Right.
You don't get to live the life that you want to live.
Yes.
You want to live because you're not letting us live the life we want to live. Like,
and it sounds exactly like Justin Trudeau.
Or is that like bullying?
That's bullying. Remember when journalists just used to tell you what was happening and they didn't tell you what to think about what was happening? They just literally were like, here's what's happening. And there was no commentary.
Take what you will, you know?
Yeah. Like, here it is. It's wild. Like, it's like Jerry Springer shows is what it feels like. It just feels so gross and disgusting. And it's like, who wants to watch that? It's like trash TV, you know? Well, Chris did his, in my opinion, Chris Cuomo was absolutely trash TV for the last few years. Do you want me to play let's play this next one here.
Don Lemon.
Don Lemon.
Yes.
Now, full disclosure, none of us like Don Lemon. So I'm just going
to
tell you.
And full disclosure too, like this is the clip, I think this is moving on from the vaccine conversation to the ivermectin conversation, which we all remember.
Oh, yes, you're right.
How that was completely demonized. And we all know why, because of the EUA, the emergency use authorization, which there couldn't be a vaccine if there was a treatment out there. So they really dove right on in to make sure that everybody who was looking at that felt like a total idiot, or they tried to make them feel as dumb as.
And it was CNN that was taking Joe Rogan's picture or video of him saying, I'm taking ivermectin and, remember, vitamin D, quercetin, whatever it was. He was taking the same protocols, to be honest, Kristen, Amy, and I all took when we had it, and we recovered pretty quickly. And they made Joe Rogan's face look grayed out. Do you remember? They changed the coloring and made him look sick. And do we have the clip of where he's talking to Patrick Bat David? We have that too, right?
Yes.
Okay, so make sure. All right, here's the ivermectin conversation with Don Lemon.
People who are injecting drugs for animals and horse.
And people telling them to.
Oh my God.
What person? You know, you talk about cancel culture and who to shame. Ivermectin, a dewormer. Really?
They are shaming themselves. No one has to shame them. They're shaming themselves.
No, they need to be shamed. Yeah. They need to be called out and shamed, brother.
Called out and shamed, brother. So, I mean, here's my thing. We're calling out Chris Cuomo. We're calling you out.
Shame on you.
Because let me tell you something. hundreds of thousands of people got deathly ill. We know many died because they did not have early treatment, which we knew in 2020, which is when we got COVID, right? Yeah, that we knew that ivermectin was effective. There were already studies that showed it and had one of the highest.
They knew too.
They all knew. Yep. Yep. Kristen has on her "they knew" tank that you can get from our swag store. And, you know, Fauci, they all knew, guys. They knew. And exactly what Amy said, they hid the information from the public so they could push this vaccine.
And wait, Holly, look, they not only hid it. Look, this is a screenshot, whoever's looking at this.
Yeah.
I screenshot right after Dr. Pierre Corey did his Senate testimony in 2020. And I had played some of that and played his interview where he's talking about ivermectin and early treatment. I got censored. My story was removed. I appealed it. It has still been removed. Like they have never said they can put it back because it goes against community standards, community guidelines.
Yeah.
And it says early prevention and early treatment, most important prevention.
And they did that on a mass scale.
That's mass scale.
We encourage you to go read Dr. Pierre Corey's book, The War on Ivermectin. Mm-hmm. We've interviewed him and his co-author both on this podcast. And he was one of the frontline doctors who, by the way, let me just be really clear, was not a far-right conservative, wasn't even a conservative. Yeah. I think he was a contributor to Stacey Abrams' campaign in Atlanta, Georgia. Like, this was not, for people who politicize this is a medical doctor who just is open-minded and will challenge the status quo, which we need more of. We need more of. But go read it. He will outline for you what has been done to us. And here's why we're still talking about it. Even though we would love to move on from conversations that make our blood pressure rise and make us want to burn stuff to the ground, okay? We don't want to feel that. Here's why. Because they'll do it again.
Yep.
Because there has to be accountability. There has to be justice. Because it is absolutely crimes against humanity. And so, Chris Cuomo, the fact that you carried the water of those without any journalistic curiosity and said, shame on those who were actually doing the right thing. No, shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on you. And until you apologize, and unless you apologize, I don't want to hear another word out of your tired mouth. And I mean it. Because you have had your moment. You've been shown, we've seen who you've been. If you have had a change of heart and a change of character, by all means, we believe in forgiveness and grace. But unless and until you own what you helped do to the American public, you can, you know what, write on off. That's where I'm at on it. Okay, so.
He's had a change of heart, hasn't he, ladies?
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll play you that. But we're still waiting on.
Well, he's having something. He's had a change of. Oh yeah, he's had a physical change of heart though, probably. Mm-hmm. Like an actual real.
He's been forced to have a change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, karma's a something. All right, check this out.
I am taking a.
We should probably say Patrick Bet David's podcast last few weeks, probably early May. Episode, listen to what Chris says.
Okay. I am taking a, what do they call it? Like a regular dose, you know, whatever. They're trying to build up of ivermectin. Mm. Ivermectin was a boogeyman early on in COVID. Mm-hmm.
You could talk about it.
That was wrong. We were given bad information about ivermectin. The real question is why? Everyone's going to say Joe Rogan was right. No, Joe Rogan was saying... Yeah, he was right. But that's not what matters. What matters is the entire clinical community knew that ivermectin couldn't hurt you. They knew it, Patrick. I know they knew it. How do I know? Because now I'm doing nothing but talking to these clinicians who at the time were overwhelmed by COVID and they weren't saying anything.
No.
Not that they were hiding anything.
Yeah.
But it's cheap. It's not owned by anybody. And it's used as an antimicrobial, antiviral in all of these different ways. It has been for a long time. So... they were wrong to play scared on that. Didn't know that at the time. Know it now. Admit it now. Reporting on it now.
Okay. What are y'all's first thoughts? Go ahead, Amy.
My favorite part. That's my favorite part. Know it now. Reporting on it now. Or whatever he said. Like, well,
but he had just
like we knew it then. Thank you.
And we're moms. We're just three moms.
We are doctors.
We're not doctors. We're not clinicians. We're not scientists. We're not reporters. We're not employed by the CDC. Okay, and we knew it. We knew it. By the way, how did we know it? Because we opened our minds and went to people who were experts in treating infectious disease and found out they were trying to sound the alarms and were being silenced. And we learned real quick, just like we've learned to follow the money, Chris, we've learned to follow the silenced.
Yep.
Because they're telling the truth about something. And it wasn't hard. Because when they stood on the steps, when some of those doctors stood on the steps in Washington, D.C. and declared that there was early treatments, and they were, and then we couldn't find the videos on YouTube or Instagram or anywhere else. And then Kristen, if you want to know how Kristen and Amy woke up, they started getting shadow banned on Instagram for telling the truth. They were clueless about a lot of this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. We all were, myself included, but I'm saying their massive wake-up call came from sharing the truth about child trafficking and then that getting taken down. What in the freaking world, right? So the thing that bugs me about this is we said they want to say Joe Rogan was right. Yes, Chris, Joe Rogan was right. There are no buts. There's no, well, we didn't have the information. No, you didn't have the information because you didn't have the journalistic integrity or curiosity to ask a freaking question and go do an interview with someone other than Don freaking Lemon.
Right.
Also the water carrier of the corrupt elites.
Oh my gosh.
You know so mad.
You know what I'm just remembering too? I wish we had this clip. I mean, I probably do somewhere where Cuomo interviewed Deborah Birx.
Yes.
You want to talk about getting triggered?
Woo.
One of the things that she says, I want to find it.
Our listeners know that the three of us are passionate about exposing the broken systems within our society, revealing how the quest for money and power has corrupted so many of them so that they no longer serve us.
That's right. We talk a lot about our broken medical system, and that includes our broken medical insurance system. We believe that it is time we dismantle the broken systems and work together to rebuild new ones that actually serve us.
And that's why we are excited to share an answer we found as an alternative to your traditional insurance plan that charges you exorbitant monthly payments and deductibles, then asks you to pay even more when you get sick, that controls your medical decisions, including what your physician is allowed to do and prescribe, and that rakes in billions as corporations at our expense.
That's why we love CrowdHealth. We interviewed CEO Andy Schoonover in episode 106, which we encourage you all to check out to learn more. But Andy founded CrowdHealth after experiencing firsthand just how inept and outrageous insurance companies have become.
CrowdHealth is not an insurance company, but a platform and a community that empowers you with a crowdfunding tool and a wealth of resources to efficiently manage your healthcare costs. And it's an excellent alternative to health insurance, allowing us to escape the healthcare matrix and put us and our healthcare providers back in charge.
Ever since my family and I made the switch to CrowdHealth, not only are we proud to be part of a company with integrity, but we love that we are free from the broken insurance system. We will never be part of that system again. We've had nothing but an A-plus experience. From before we even enrolled, we connected with an advocate who answered our questions. Then upon enrollment, we were immediately assigned a personal advocate who is literally a text away anytime I need her. If you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, you will see not only how much they truly care about each of the members, but also how much money they save us. This is why we encourage all of you to go to joincrowdhealth.org to learn more and to use code JUSTTHINK to get your first 3 months of membership for just $99 a month. Again, it's joincrowdhealth.org with discount code JUSTTHINK. You can also reference our Just Think the Podcast Substack for more information. One of the things that she says, we do, now she's admitting too. So I feel like something's very, very fishy, but now she's admitting.
Oh, it's gonna come out.
He said, we need the vaccine injured to come out and start talking about their injuries. We're like, are you freaking kidding me? They've been talking since December.
They've been testimonies and just.
You have ignored them.
I mean.
And y'all got to remember these Senate testimonies that these doctors and these vaccine injured that they've had. Ron Johnson has had like three or four of them now. They have invited. Fauci, Walensky, Janet Woodcock, Deborah Birx, they have invited all of these people.
Every
and
time.
And they not only just not show up, they don't respond to them.
That's right.
And you're not going to hear the vaccine injured if you turn a blind eye and you ignore them. And all those, we sent a Substack out recently with all the emails with Fauci that's coming out, 300 pages, like where they just showed that like so many people were reaching out to Fauci with vaccine injuries and he never responded, completely ignored them. This is just, it is. It is crimes against humanity. And yep. when they're coming out saying this stuff, I can't imagine being like Bree Dresden and Lindsay House, you know, that we have interviewed mm-hmm. all these people that have had major, major COVID. Which, by the way, did y'all hear this? One of the reasons we love ICANN, Informed Consent Action Network, they are taking on Bree's case. She is suing them and they are going to be, so she is in a good, an awesome lawsuit. So if y'all want to go follow that and support her or just at least follow the whole situation, you need to, because she was in the vaccine trial for AstraZeneca and they completely omitted her data when she started having injuries. They deleted her from the app, didn't do it. Go listen to that podcast episode and go follow them.
And let's also just remember, they just pulled the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure everyone knows that, because I know that's over in Europe. The AstraZeneca vaccine is now gone. They need to do the exact same thing to Moderna and to Pfizer. They need to quit lauding this as some kind of... What's crazy is that the New York Times is now starting to report on vaccine injury while also still calling this the greatest scientific achievement like of our time. And how can you say both?
Get your vaccine. Like a coffee and coke this morning. That, I don't know if y'all have read it yet. But the latest variant that they're talking about is called Flirt.
Please.
He was like, you could have come up with a little bit of a scarier name than that.
But, yep.
But basically, one of the article that about the Flirt was saying, like, the vaccine doesn't, you know, it doesn't keep you from getting COVID, but still you should get it. Because it's like, will our vaccine help with this new variant? It's like, well, it's not going to keep you from getting COVID, but still it's recommended that you get one.
Really? I mean, why?
Who is going to, I want to know who is the person that is going to do that?
Well, remember that guy that's on, again, in the media that had like his seventh booster. Do you guys remember mm-hmm. this? We were just like, how are you still walking around?
I don't even know how he's alive.
I don't know how you're alive. I mean, again, we're not going to go into all the science behind what they're discovering that this spike protein does, but none of it's good.
Right.
None of it's good. It disables your T cells, and your T cells are what protect you from literally everything under the sun, my understanding. So you don't want that. And the other thing about Chris Cuomo, though, that we should bring up is he's refusing to apologize.
Yes.
Right. So he's taking the ivermectin that he shamed us for all taking and for encouraging others to take, which this podcast was totally doing it. If you want to just go back into our archives, you'll see it. We mm-hmm. interviewed doctors. We were talking all about it. To be honest with you, I mean, we knew people who were getting this to the masses, like people who were going and buying it and getting it out to people so that they could have it because couldn't get it from a doctor. I mean, mm-hmm. there was almost like a black market of ivermectin there for a while, for those of us who knew the truth, smuggling it into hospitals to get people out of the hospital. And unfortunately, for some, it was too late.
Yep.
Because instead, guess what the approved treatment was? And if you want to look at safety profiles, when ivermectin is so safe, and Gilead Science had a drug out, what was the drug, Kristen?
Remdesivir?
Yeah, Remdesivir. That has not a high safety profile at all. Very risky. And mm-hmm. I think it was only like, 20% effective in the clinicals? Like, it wasn't even good. But that's your standard.
They pulled it because it was like killing too many people.
It destroys kidneys.
Ebola, I think.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've looked at that. But
we should also mention the reason why Chris Cuomo is taking ivermectin now is because... Yes. He's been vaccine injured.
And admits it.
And it has admitted that. Mm-hmm. But he has not been right since he...
Now, his doctor has been reaching out to us for a while. We've been trying to connect with her for long before we knew she was his doctor. She had reached out to us, actually. And we hope to have her on soon. So we'll get some more details on that. But yeah, he's being treated by an actual doctor who actually seems to know something and mm-hmm. isn't crazy and isn't just believing what the quote experts say. You see, back in the day, what doctors did was if there wasn't a known treatment for something, they experimented and they tried different things and they talked to one another till they figured out what worked.
Mm-hmm.
And as Dr. Peter McCullough has told us repeatedly on episodes with us, and we've heard him say this outside of our episodes, it's until 2020, that's how science worked. That's how medicine worked. This was the first time they were shutting off communications. They were shutting down, you know, basically clinical experience and just saying, hey, wait for a vaccine.
Well, and I think we got to remind, and not to beat a dead horse and we can move on from this, but like, you just have to think, because one thing that was really one of my just think moments too, was like, when you see all these doctors lined up at the, when at the Capitol or something, and that's the video that got censored, when they are like telling everybody passionate and excited, same with Dr. Corey, same with Dr. McCullough. Yeah. They are telling people in Senate testimonies and in presentations saying, we are doing this. We're meeting with doctors all over the world. We're trying to figure out what works. This is what it's supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to be. Things were working. People weren't dying under their care. But those are the doctors that got censored. Those are the therapies that you weren't allowed to do. Pharmacists were banned to even fill the prescription, even if you got a doctor to prescribe it. When have they ever done this? Never. They have never shut it down. Why would we not be excited that somebody is doing something that's working and they're treating thousands of people? We're not just saying a couple. Thousands, and it's working. And they're like, no, no, no. Don't look that way. Don't look that way. Only wait for the vaccine. Only wait for this miracle drug. Vaccines have never been like the cure-all. They have the potential to be beneficial, but that's not your one-stop shop, your one answer to everything. No. And we're not even saying ivermectin is the answer to everything. It's a combination of everything. You also need a good immune system. You need to be healthy. If there is anything this has taught us at all, you need to be primed right now for anything that comes. Yep. We don't know what's going to come, but the healthier you are, the stronger you're going to be to fight anything off.
Survival of the fittest. It's literally about having yourself healthy so that you can survive what comes at you. We found that over 80% of people who died of COVID, was that the right stat? They were vitamin D deficient.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
a
major problem in our country, especially because we're not outside as much as we were, you know, hundreds of years ago, and shoot, even 50 years ago, you know, when there were more of an agrarian type of a society. We're not outside, we're not moving. Guys, you got to get outside, put your eyeballs into some sun, get your skin into the sun. Like, listen, we're all about skincare and taking care of your skin, but like, you have to get out there and get in it. You cannot avoid it. Okay. Right. And I know some of the people who were sickest with what they thought was long COVID, I believe were actually vaccine injured, and they had been vaccinated and also gotten COVID. And many of them stayed inside. They felt so bad. They stayed inside. Worst thing you could do. I know for me, when I, you know, thankfully I got it in the summer, I got outside every day, and I felt like I had the flu. And so I would just take steps through my grass, through my yard, and just move and breathe good air. My dad, who has had heart disease, and we were worried when he got it. Honey, I think he did better than I did because he had ivermectin day one. Yep. And he sat outside. He just sat outside in the rocking chair, you know, breathe good air. Like, I'm just saying, Kristen's right. We've got to make sure. Don't be reactive. It's time to get proactive, period, to everything.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to send a little message to Chris Cuomo. You know, hey, buddy, like, we'd love to know that you've had a real, we'd love to have you on, love to have this conversation. Like, if you have had a real change of heart, then give the apology. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's great that you're reporting on this now, but to say we didn't have the information, no, you didn't. But you should have. If all you had done was go have an interview with Dr. Pierre Corey, for example, who was already in the news, you could have learned something, but you didn't. And you learned a hard lesson. I mean, I do feel for him. You're vaccine injured. That's a bad thing. It's not good. So I do feel for him. But, you know, again, when you know better, you do better. So just apologize. Yep. Okay. Now, moving on to the next subject, June 27th, 28th, girls. Do you remember what we said?
I can't remember the exact date.
Pop your popcorn.
Get ready. Woo. Let's see if it happens.
Biden does this video that he's just came out, and he says he's going to debate Trump, and it's been edited. Like, you can tell, it's clips. It's like 3 seconds, 3 seconds of words, and you can tell it's all been meshed together. I'm like, how is this dude going to debate for an hour? Like, exactly how much cocaine is Hunter going to have to give him?
So many drugs. But you know, he's already said he's not going to do it in front of a live audience.
So
which typically that's how debates happen. He does not want a live audience. I think that's
Let's look at what his rallies have looked like compared to the 100,000 they said was in New Jersey.
want an audience.
You don't want an audience because I'm going to tell you who's going to be in that audience. No one. I just want to say, President Biden, if your brain can understand what I'm about to say, no one ever liked you. Okay. They voted for you because they hated Trump. You were never someone that, like, very few people ever were like, woo, he's our president. I promise. Mm-hmm. I promise. It was more like, whoo, we don't have Trump anymore. So many of those same people now, though, as it turns out, are saying, we can't afford to have Biden anymore. I guess I'm going to go hold my nose and vote for Trump. Well, because here's the thing. Policies matter. I get not liking personalities. Totally understand. All three of us will tell you all day long, we understand why some people, like, Trump is too much for you, and we get it. We totally get it. Yeah, I think that's one thing about RFK. It was like, here's this guy who has fought a lot of the same fights we have fought, you know, against big pharma, against people polluting our water and, you know, our crops, you know, Monsanto. Like, we love him for all that he has contributed and the courage it's taken to speak out. But he is not, and he's a fighter, but he's a clean fighter, right? So it's appealing. Trump is not. He is a wrecking ball, dirty fighter. Okay. I mean, he's dirty. And when Bill Barr gave him his endorsement a couple weeks ago. Do you remember AG Bill Barr, you guys? And you know, they had a little falling out. Well, Bill Barr gave him his endorsement last week because he was like, we can't afford 4 more years of Biden. Like, we got to get Trump back. He's one of those. And Trump goes, AG Bill Barr, and if anyone has the tweet, we'll read it. But it was like, or not tweet, but his statement. He was like, AG Bill Barr gave me his endorsement, even though I called him like lazy. And I mean, it was a list of bad things he called him. He said, so I'm going to take back that he's, what was it?
Not I can't remember.
I'm going to take back.
Fat, lazy, lethargic, whatever. Lethargic. I'm going to retract lethargic. One of the insults. He was like, thanks for the endorsement. You're not fat, lazy, and lethargic anymore. You're just fat and lazy. Basically, is what he said.
I was crying. And listen, I know that is so not.
That is so not presidential.
Oh, not presidential.
It's Trump.
And it is what it is. And by the way, he was one of the most popular figures in pop culture because of a show called The Apprentice, where he looked at people and said, you're fired. And like, no compassion. He's just like, you're done. Like, that's what he's not like. This is who he is. And again, I've shared this before, but I had a good friend from California ask me, like, how can you just tell me how you could, cause it's no secret. I voted for Trump. Okay. Twice. And probably will a third time. And here's why. And again, this is just my personal opinion. I said, I get why, like, I want to tell him to shut up on the regular. I want to be like, dude, just stop talking. But I said, I wanted, long before he ever said he was going to run, I kept saying, even in the Obama years, Bush years, I was like, can we just get someone with business sense to come in here? Like, actual experience running a big company, because we need someone who can run a big company to run America. Like, it's so sloppy and disastrous and it's ineffective. And we have this deficit we're running. Like, we're not accountable to anyone or anything. Like, where are the CPAs of America to say, hey, can't afford this. We need to cut this. Like, right. That's what I wanted. So when Trump said he was going to win, even though a lot of my Republican friends were like, gross, no. And I understood why. I was like, nah, I think I'm going to have to vote for him. And I remember a good friend of mine going, why? I was like, I can't stand the guy on The Apprentice. I'm going to tell you what it is. I like what he's saying about policy. We got to do something about China. I don't know why no one talks about China. They talk about the Middle East. China is funding half this. Like, China hates America, and they are so smart about the way they want to dismantle us. Okay. Yep. And when I say China, I mean people, not the country, the Communist Party. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know if I've ever really gone into this before on the podcast, but I'm just going to own it now because I've got so few you know whats to give anymore. I'm there. Cancel me, whatever. It's like, I don't care. If I can't say this out loud, I'm not free. And I'll fight to the death for the freedom of this country, for myself, mm-hmm. for Kristen and Amy and all of our kids. Full stop. But I want those policies. I want there to be accountability with our finances in this country. If you make me pay taxes, you better be responsible with what you do with my money.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We need to stop fighting all these wars that fund the military-industrial complex and all these defense contractors. We got to stop this nonsense.
Yes, we do.
We cannot be the police of the world.
No.
And Israel is one of the only democracies that sits in the middle of the Middle East. And I don't care what you think about Netanyahu or Palestine. All I care about is Hamas attacked innocent Jewish people, and it has fueled what was already rising anti-Semitism all over the globe. And all you got to do is have some Jewish friends to know this has been happening. And I am sorry, I don't care what other complicated crap you want to bring to that conversation. At the end of the day, that was horrific. More Jews killed in a single day since the Holocaust on that day. They were at a music festival, y'all. They were raping these women. They were cutting people's heads off. They were burning babies, and they were putting it on video. And so anybody who justifies that, you are not logical, and I cannot even have a conversation about it with you, because we have to start from a place of the goodness of humanity should matter.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So that's all I'm going to say. This is why I will not have Biden back in the White House, as far as it's up to me. Okay. But now there's going
to all safely say, if it's between Biden and Trump, you know, daggum well, who the three of us are going to vote for.
By it way, ain't just, him.
Yeah.
There you go. Right. That's our choices.
I want this border closed. I want the border deported. Immediately. And I'm sorry, but you have got to go.
Speak on it, Amy.
And speaking of China, y'all, I'm going to tell you again to go listen to Brett Weinstein. I don't know who, I can't remember who he was talking to about this. He actually had experience like at the border and saw the difference between the Chinese people that were coming across the border and the other people from other countries. Like, he just said it was different, and it could, I'm not saying all, okay, of course, there are good people. There are good people that are really searching for an escape. But y'all, we have to be scared. I mean, and I'm not saying living in fear, but you have to acknowledge and know that there are horrible people crossing this border.
Yep.
And they have agendas, and they are doing really bad things, or they are planning really bad things. And we have no idea.
No idea.
Because they are not controlling it at all. At all.
And they have had 4 years.
Oh.
And they willingly have not. It is so blatant at this point. I think that a vote for Biden is just a vote for just the destruction of America, period.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's already things like.
Can y'all believe we're even saying this out loud on a podcast? When we first started, we didn't even want to say Trump's name, because we're like, Lord knows we don't want to have any polarizing. Like, we're going to be going through enough polarizing stuff that we don't want to complicate it with politics. And here we are. And I think that's what I want to share with people, is we're not telling you who to vote for. And guess what? Whatever you choose, we so respect your right to do it. We're not those people. But we do want you to make an informed vote. And what we saw happened in the last, few years, gosh, Amy, I remember going to your living room in probably 2016 or 2017. Like, I remember sitting in your house, and it was the first time we ever talked about the election. And Amy was like, I voted for Barack Obama, and I voted for Donald Trump. I just remember, like, we had that whole conversation. And what we talked about was, like, we hated partisan politics, but that we were starting to learn that the consequences matter, right? There's consequences to your voting. And we knew that some things needed to change course. And so I think that the fact that we're to this point, that we're talking about this on the podcast, y'all, is that they used to say, don't talk about religion and politics. But what happens when you don't talk about religion or politics is you end up where we're at. What you got to teach people to do is talk about religion and politics and do it in a respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to sit across the table with someone who sees something completely different than you and say, help me understand how you see this. Because I will say this all day long. I learned from Republicans to not trust the government. I learned from Democrats to not trust big corporations, to follow the money. So with that, let me just say, let's learn to sit at the table and have these conversations and talk about things respectfully. But where our country sits now, with a border crisis unlike anything we've ever seen, with a drug crisis, fentanyl, how they can shut down ivermectin, but they can't shut down fentanyl is beyond me.
Exactly.
Okay. We have a crisis. Have you bought eggs, milk, any of those things lately? Produce? What are you paying for those things? Can you afford a home anymore? New home buyers, can you afford to buy a house? No. So that's all got to get fixed. And to RFK's credit, I think he has some great ideas along that as well. So let's bring him back into the conversation, because he should be in most states. I think he's going to be an option, right? But I think the point that we're trying to make is this Biden administration, who I am convinced is probably not Joe Biden, though I did not think he was a good man when he started, you know, for years. I don't think he was a man of integrity. I think there's a whole lot with the laptop story. Joe knew that was his son's laptop. They knew it was his daughter's diary. They lied. And there was so much money given over. And I think you guys need to go look at China and go look at Ukraine. Why is it that we're in? I just learned this week. 2 days after our armed forces left Afghanistan, did you know a Chinese plane full of stuff landed in Afghanistan? Did you know that the Chinese started to, that they were interested in all of our military, billions and billions and billions of dollars of stuff left behind? You guys, there's a great podcast. Kristen will link it. There's a great podcast by this guy who goes through all the connections back to China that even involve Ukraine, Afghanistan. Why? Because China knows the weaker the U.S. becomes, the more their communist ideas can thrive and flourish. We are what stands in the way. So we want to do something about that. Okay, girls, so we've got this. And by the way, we're all three going to try to get together to watch this. So what we should do is set up some cameras.
Sit down across from each other and have a
live stream our reaction.
We should live stream it. We should
really our husbands. That's the reactions that we need.
Listen, we have to put an E rating and an explicit rating.
We might not want it live. We might want to see what we can edit out.
Right. Y'all. Okay. But there's more. Let's talk about this NC State Wolfpacker stood up and gave UNC Chapel Hill a standing ovation and said, "Go Heels!" this week, which you're not going to hear me say that very often. But just a rivalry. And truly, it's a North Carolina. Come on. You all know I know. I love my state, and I'm going to support my schools. But they not only stood those frat boys, God, love those boys. I wanted to squeeze every one of their necks. Stood up in front of the pro-Hamas. I'm going to call them pro-Hamas because this is Palestine is irrelevant. It's pro-Hamas people, whether they realize it or not. They stood in front of them and would not let the American flag touch the ground because they were trying to raise the Palestinian flag. You guys, it's huge. That happened. I finally looked at my 17-year-old whose college counselor keeps telling him he needs to apply to Carolina as well and say, okay, you can apply there. Okay, you're going to apply.
Is really going to go to Carolina?
He says no. He says no way. Y'all, it's so hard to get in state too now. Like, it's crazy. So she's like, you need to have all your options open.
Mm-hmm. I cannot see him wearing some Carolina blue.
Honey, no. But I can't. But it's better than going out of state and being out of state tuition, right? Like, I'm like,
you look good in Carolina blue, though.
Honey, my kids look so good in Carolina blue, it sucks. I can't stand it, but it's true. They look so, they're pretty blue eyes. Okay. But here's the thing. The University of North Carolina also voted unanimously. Their board voted unanimously. So let's back up and just say the University of North Carolina system, which oversees NC State, UNC, all of our state-supported universities here in the state of North Carolina, it had already voted and said, we're going to do away with DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, money, payments, programs. They have whole institutions set up in these colleges. So what they voted was to get rid of it, which is awesome, but there was other things that had to happen for it to happen. The UNC individual board already led the way and voted unanimously after the incident with the pro-Hamas protesters. They said, we're going to defund DEI, and get this, we're going to refund our campus police officers. I mean, come on.
That's the message right there. That's what you do. You reallocate those funds.
And someone
told me where it should be. These police, I mean, I think about the policemen so much. Like, I can't imagine what they go through day in and day out and just putting their lives on the line. And they already don't get crap for money for what they do. And then this, like, to know that, like, more money's going to DEI than to you, who's saving and protecting these people, you know?
Yep.
I am really proud of UNC. I mean, look, I went to UNC, and I have had some major issues lately just knowing that's where all the Wuhan, that's where COVID and all this crap started. I'm like, awesome. I'm so proud. Woo! But I am proud now. Like, it's been great.
Yeah. Well, here's the good news, guys, and maybe this will encourage you. The pendulum swings, and there's always a little bit of self-correction, right? I feel like in our society where when things go a little too far, it'll pull back. We kind of see this in voting, right? It's like they'll elect a Republican, then they go and elect a Democrat. And then it just sort of goes teeters back and forth because everybody's always, let's be honest, there's this desire to keep it in the middle because that's where balance is, right? Like, that's a principle of balance, is just to stay in the middle. But I do think it's encouraging to hear that more and more people are saying enough. This DEI, it's come to a head. By the way, guys, Chris and Amy and I, we saw this happening way before the pro-Palestine or pro-Hamas is what I should say, marches and any of that stuff. Where we saw it was in our own children saying, hey, I didn't choose to be born white. I didn't choose to be born by two college-educated parents. I chose none of that. So then why am I the bad guy? Because I didn't do this. I've never owned a slave. I don't hate. I love black people. I have black, brown, orange, red friends, whatever. Like, our kids were raised to not see race. They're asking us, why are we now having to talk about it? Why? And then also when we have these conversations, then why am I the oppressor? I'm not the oppressor. You see what I'm saying? We saw this coming a mile away. I'm just glad something is happening that's made them wake up.
Yep.
None of this is good.
No.
Was there anything else, guys, that we need to?
Oh, there's so much. We probably need to wrap it up.
I mean, okay. I feel like
I will say something with the karma. Was it Dylan Mulvaney?
Mulvaney.
Where right after, or wasn't it shortly after Dylan going to, it says, remember when Dylan Mulvaney fled the U.S. to Peru to feel safe? Well, now Peru just passed a bill classifying trans people as mentally ill.
Well,
that was from PragerU. I think the thing too is that a lot of these people who are fighting for these things or whatever, they don't realize, and they're like anti-America and realize the freedom that you have here.
Like, go over there and get beheaded because you're LGBTQ.
Exactly. I mean, and these are the people, and not all of them, but like a vast majority of them, you see, like, they're the ones that are doing this. And it's like, we don't even realize the freedom we have until it was just taken away from us, or almost taken away from us, over the past few years, you know?
Yeah.
I took it for granted. You know, even voting, even all the, I mean, I've woken up to a lot of this stuff where I just thought if it wasn't affecting me personally, that I didn't need to pay attention to it. But that is completely wrong. And it's not that you need to be consumed in it, but you need to be aware. You need to know what's going on.
That's
it. Like, be prepared and be aware.
That's
you know?
It. That's so. It. And also, for all the Biden administration's push towards trying to convince you that the economy is better than when he found it, I want everyone to remember he found it in the middle of a pandemic. And if you just ask yourself, are you better off today than you were when he took office? And if the answer is no, then right there tells you something, right? It's like, again, I feel like we're being gaslit. And I just wanted to make this point. We're being lied to so much that it's almost appalling. Like, I listened to, what's her name? The press secretary.
Corinne.
Well, he got a straight up lie that he said inflation was 9% when he took office or something.
Yeah,
and it was
1.4. All right, listen, let's just play this.
How the president talks about inflation. So two times over the past 2 weeks, the president said inflation was 9% when he came into office. Is the president misleading Americans on that? Or does he just not realize that inflation was 1.4%?
So, you know, and thank you for the question, because I know that this, we got a lot of incoming on this yesterday. And look, the point that he was making is that the factors that caused inflation was in place when he walked into the administration, when he took office.
That's so patently. No, that's not what he said. You see why this makes me so angry? Because I feel like we're living with an abuser.
Wow.
We are living with an abuser who says, no, you didn't feel that. You didn't see that. I didn't do that. This is narcissism, classic narcissism to the masses. No, that's not what you saw. No, that's not what happened. He literally said it not once, but two times. And no, there was no context of, well, all the conditions were right for us to see a rise in inflation. Yes, we saw a rise in inflation under your leadership.
I mean, the lies and the lies just keep coming. I mean, y'all, I have a whole folder of Biden lies. Okay. So just stay tuned for that too. That's definitely going to be a Substack and a reel that's coming. But everything that, and even just listening to the laptop from hell, we were listening to that audio. Just listening to that, they go through all the lies. Like, not all of them.
He lies about little things.
He lies all the time. Nobody fact checks him. The fact checkers are too busy trying to fact check the truth tellers like us. It is so absolutely ridiculous. I don't understand why people aren't just like throwing it back at them.
Well, and the thing is if this conditions were set from the previous administration for this to happen, then okay, fine. But that was 3 years ago, four years ago. And it's steadily gotten worse. So you're saying that you're still trying to blame, like you have been president since 2021. It is 2024. And it's only gotten worse. So yes, okay, fine. We'll give you grace. Maybe something Trump did, we'll just go ahead and go with that theory, that something he did set you up to have inflation under your administration. Okay, so then why couldn't you get that under control in 2022? Why couldn't you get it under control in 2023? Why are we still not able to afford groceries in 2024 and it's only getting worse?
Yeah.
It's still Trump's fault? Really?
Yes, it is. Yes.
That's what they're going to say. They're going to keep telling us that. So I think our audience is so savvy. Like they know, they y'all know the deal. I think our job for a lot of our listeners, although we want people who don't agree with us to listen, for sure. And I'm sure many of you don't agree with us on all these things. That's the way it should be, right? No one ever agrees 100% on anything, but please take this information and have these conversations with friends and say, hey, did you know that he said this twice? It's not true. It's not true. Here's the real information. I just feel like we've got to, if we can't rely on mass media to inform us, so we've got to find a way. And I think it's back telephone, person to person. You know, we got to have these conversations amongst our networks and be willing to stand up and say, "This something. None of this smells right.
Right.
Doesn't feel right, look right, smell right."
I was just listening to, I love the Daily Hope podcast. It's Pastor Rick Warren who wrote The Purpose from Life. I love his podcast. It's so amazing. It's just like 20 or 30 minute sermons. But actually today, this morning, I was listening to it and he was talking about one of our duties is to warn people. He's like, you have to, if you see somebody getting ready to walk off a cliff, it is your duty to lovingly warn them, or else you're kind of like complicit.
Yeah.
Because you just let them, do these things. So like you lovingly tell people the truth, lovingly warn them. It's an act of love. And it's opposite. If you know somebody is doing something that's going to be harmful and you just sit back and don't say anything, then that's not an act of love. And so I think that having these conversations is a way of warning people. It's like, you need to know this. We have to all tell people these things. And that's what we have this podcast, as you know, is just like a huge warning to everyone. It's trying to tell everybody what's really going on. And it's out of love.
Out of love. And my dad, some best advice my dad ever gave me, he said, you're not responsible for people. You're responsible sometimes to them. Like with your kids, you're not responsible for every choice your child makes. They're an autonomous person making their own choices, but you are responsible to teach them certain things so that they can have the information to make their own choices. It's the same with people. It's not your job to convince them. You're not responsible for what they believe, but you might be responsible to tell them when you have information that completely would open their eyes or help them understand that what they're currently believing isn't true. Mm-hmm. It's one reason we're passionate about vaccines, because we know that most people don't know that the childhood vaccine program is not based in science or safety testing at all. It's actually shockingly not at all. But we trusted, because we're a part of this Western culture that says the doctor knows best, trust your doctor, quote, trust the science. We thought the science all proved that. No, it doesn't. So why do we speak out when we know we're going to be called anti-vaxxers and slurred and accused of misinformation and have our accounts taken away and shadow banned? Why would we do that? Because we love you enough to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. What you do with it is up to you. What you do with it is up to you. But you will have known, if you listen to our podcast or read our Substack, that you have not had all the information to make an informed choice. So with that, go to our Substack, go subscribe. It's free. But if you want all the information that Kristen is, I'm telling, full-time job working to get to you, y'all, she deserves every penny that she could possibly get from our subscribers that pay for this. It's what, $6 a month, Kristen, is what the minimum is? Like, some of you are so sweet. You just make donations. We love it. We appreciate it, because we have made a choice not to try to monetize this in ways we could have, because we want to stay true to what we believe in and products that we believe in. So if you'll just go to that Substack and subscribe, if you like the podcast and you listen to us, please go give us a good review and a 5-star review, just to combat any haters that might and trolls that might come our way. But we just appreciate
you. We just like to hear your feedback. I mean,
yes,
anything. We like to hear it. So
absolutely. We'd
love to reach out and we do. We get a lot of y'all reaching out to us, and we really appreciate it. Telling us stories that validate everything.
Yep. Oh, can I just read the one I sent y'all this morning, speaking of?
Yes.
I had a mom send us this, y'all, this morning, and it blew me away. And I won't give specifics, but it's frightening. She literally sent me a text this morning, because I had talked about on social media about wokeness, the woke mind virus, and how the Prime Minister of Singapore was talking about the woke mind virus of the West and why it's bad. And it's so spot on. But anyway, this is what she said. She said that her daughter's, quote, asshat of a science teacher has worn a tail and ears all year when he's not in full makeup and braids. And earlier this week, he felt that class time was best used telling the kids that there's a chemical in cat litter, that when humans are exposed to it, they become attracted to cats. And so he is attracted to cats. What does that have to do with eighth grade science curriculum? I was like, well, did you burn the school down?
I mean, and there are just so many things going through my head that I'm not allowed.
That's a lot to unpack.
So much. So much. And here's the thing. That is mental illness, y'all. That's sad. It's actually really sad.
Teaching kids.
But it's given him a platform, or her, whichever, I don't know. It's given somebody a platform to preach and to perpetuate their mental illness onto vulnerable children. That is not okay.
From that, we would have had words at the very beginning.
Come on, Tita. He wouldn't have had a job by tonight, okay? I'm just going to tell you. Whatever it takes, I'm just going to tell you. Which child ain't going to be learning that anymore. Here's the thing. It's a mental illness. And we see what happened. Here's where the slippery slope happens. When you stop calling it that and you normalize it, this is what happens. And the most, quote, accepting of mental illness occupations right now seems to be teachers. How wild is that? No shade on teachers. I'm saying, why are, like, for example, I don't hear of people walking in IBM to their jobs right now and RTP wearing ears and a tail and saying that cat litter has made them attracted to cats. Like, I don't ever hear of that happening in other sectors of our economy. Why is it that we keep hearing about teachers doing it? Right. Yep. So I just think it's because we have made it we have demonized anyone calling it out as mental illness, and we've become more accepting of it, but it's at our kids' expense. Here's the thing. If that person wants to be a cat at home, by all means, you're American. You're free to do whatever you want. You don't get to teach our kids about this.
Well, they also call parents the minute you speak out in the schools, domestic terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that? Like, you do have to think about that. I honestly haven't thought about it like that, Holly, about you don't see people like that in other, you don't see politicians doing that.
No.
You don't. Does that just mean that these people aren't in those jobs? Or does this mean that this is a place where it's accepted, so they do it? Whereas the other places that it's not accepted, they don't do it. I mean, nobody needs to be wearing a costume to school.
Nope.
Nobody does. You know, they didn't even allow hats and hoodies. Now they're allowing full blown costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's pretend.
That's right. That's right. So with that, just so your parents know what's going on out there, here's what I'll also say. You need to know what's going on in your child's classrooms. You cannot put your head in the sand about this anymore. You got to know what's going on in the school, in the classrooms, who's teaching them, what they're saying. And if at all possible, and it's not possible for everyone, I get that. Like, homeschool, find a private school, or find a school that aligns with your values. Mm-hmm. Because we can't play around anymore. We cannot play around anymore. To find out that this is happening in a affluent part of the country, it's just mind, not that that matters, but I'm saying this isn't a place where, I don't know, like, you should think you send your kids off to school for a good education. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this would happen, this is actually more likely to happen in the affluent.
Oh, 100%, because it's
actually down in the Bronx. Those teachers would be like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. you would think, right? Like, no. So I'm just letting y'all know, we cannot abdicate our responsibilities as parents to the school system to teach them things. And you're going to have to talk about religion and politics with your kids. Okay. Yep. That is the truth. You got to have that conversation. They got to know right from wrong. And they've got to know, you know, core beliefs and ideologies and why you believe what you believe. You got to be having those conversations so that they will tell you, they'll come home and tell you that their teacher thinks he's a cat.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no, but he's attracted to cats. That's even worse.
Oh God.
That's bestiality. That is bestiality, y'all. That is nasty.
Man. No.
Nasty.
Oh.
Nasty. Okay. Whew. I don't know. I told the girls this week, I think all this has made me wonder if I'm a good person, you know? And listen, I know that I am, but like, I mean, I'm as good as I'm human. I got a lot of not good in me. I just feel angry and like intolerant. Yeah.
Well, I think it's just, how are we even having this conversation?
Yes.
It really makes you mad to think like, okay, how are we even having this conversation? And I know we need to wrap this up, but then a nurse practitioner friend, I just said her daughter had broken her arm and she was hurting at school because another kid actually squeezed it, like basically had not gotten the cast on yet, was just in a splint. And so like some kid squeezed her broken arm. She was like in tears and she just wanted her daughter to like be able to get ibuprofen or something for pain. They would not let her. And she's a nurse practitioner. She's already signed this stuff. They wouldn't let the nurse give her daughter ibuprofen without the doctor from the school giving permission. So think about all these hoops that they're going down just for ibuprofen for pain for a literally already a diagnosed fractured arm. Yet they are trying to, you know, hide transition surgeries. Like they're trying to allow kids to make their own decisions with vaccines without parents' decisions. Without the parents' consent. So these are just things that you have to think, like, why is this even happening in school anyway? It is not up to the counselor to divide families. It is not up to them to decide any medical decisions. Kids do not need to make their medical decisions, especially when you cannot take back. They don't need to be making those, period.
No, absolutely not.
Anyway, I know we need to wrap it up, but I just wanted to throw that out there just because it does make you think. It makes you think when you're saying what's going on in the schools. It ain't just the teachers dressing up as cats or kids that are in the bathrooms or guys in the girls' bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many other things right now.
And I'll add to that real quick just because I got this letter this week at our private school, which does not require us to stay up to date on vaccines or whatnot, because private schools could, if they wanted to in the state of North Carolina, they could enforce that. Thank God I go to one that doesn't. I got a letter that said, hey, just so you know, in the state of North Carolina, the meningitis vaccine is required for your child going into senior year. Mm-hmm. And they said, you need to submit proof of this or submit your state-approved religious exemption form. Well, I knew, number one, because also shout out Anna White, who knows all the things, and that's my sister. And I said, hey, there's not a state-approved religious exemption form. She goes, no. I was like, also, I don't have to get my exemption approved in the state of North Carolina. No, if you state you have a religious objection, that's enough. So I wrote school and I copied the president of the board, who happens to be my brother-in-law. And I said, hey, this needs to be rewritten. I think they had sent out like a standard form that all schools use. And I was like, you know good and well, there's no state form. All I have to do is tell you no. And that's what I said. Hey, no, not doing it. And use my religious exemption that I've used in the past. Mm-hmm. So that was enough. But guys, can I just say, hey, parents.
With that being said, Holly, I'm sorry to interrupt you, before there is a template that you can use. And that's right. In our Substack. If you go and you can search in Substacks and you can say exemption.
Yes.
And it will pull up and it will give you, we've used it. And all you literally do is you print it out, sign the name, sign the year, date, or whatever, and then submit it and then just scan it and email it. I did it to my son's nurse and I said, you can just keep this on file for the next couple of years because I'm not changing my mind.
There you go.
I'm not saying that there is, but it has worked.
Yes.
So, and I've had a lot of people ask me, a lot of people have used it for elementary, middle school, high school.
And that's here. What I used.
So
that's
I will tell you, there is one that you can use.
And I state the law and I say, in accordance to this law, here's what I'm stating. So I just want parents to know, though, because let me tell you, I know this stuff. And when I read that email, Kristen, I was like, did the law change? Like, what? I don't understand. Right. So I'm just saying, don't get bullied into these decisions thinking your kids cannot go to school. In most U.S. states, they absolutely can. Okay. Mm-hmm. They can. They don't have to have all this poison put into their bodies. And yes, I'm calling it poison on purpose. And I have facts to back that up. Go subscribe to Kristen's Substack and you'll find out why I said it. Okay.
That's the most recent one.
That's it. Yeah. Yes, exactly. All right, y'all. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Bye.